come read scripture. We're going to have some preaching here in a moment.
If you would all stand, please, and open your Bible, your Bibles to Judges chapter 3 and verse 31. And we'll read it all together, since it's only one verse. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. We'll read again. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today, Lord. Father, we pray and thank you so much for this morning's message, which ministered to our hearts, Lord. And tonight, Lord, we're just waiting to hear from heaven again. Oh, Lord, fill your preacher tonight with your Holy Spirit. Father, help us to receive that which you give us tonight, to have the hearts, Lord, that'll be willing, Father, to surrender to the conviction of your Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus, we need you today. We need to hear from heaven. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that in a special way, you would speak to our hearts tonight. Let them be comforted, exhorted. Let them be lifted up, that, Father, you may be glorified in all things. Bless the speaker. Bless the hearer. And, Lord, we'll be careful to give you all praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to thank you for making us feel very welcome and home. Been good to meet you folks. I'm sure I'll never remember all your names, but most of your faces. Appreciate your kind words. Appreciate the nice room and the many nice things. And I appreciate Mrs. Weeks remembering that my favorite fruit is Hershey's. And that's a blessing. Amen. I know on a day like this, there's a lot of people that work hard, and it doesn't happen without a lot of people that work hard and are faithful in their place. This is not the message tonight, but I think I need to say at least a couple of words. Maybe the most important thing I'll say while I'm here, and that is, you know, your preacher has a great responsibility. He carries the load. Nobody here really understands the pastor's load that he carries. When you rejoice, he rejoices with you. When you weep, he weeps with you. And you need someone to come to and carry your burdens to, and it's only right that you do that. And he carries your burden. He carries your burden of your family, of your job, of your cares, your children. And that's his place, that's his responsibility, and he does that. Now, you as a church have a great responsibility, and God has given you many good things and wonderful things. He gave you a beautiful building, and you take care of it very well, and very nice. Obviously, you care about this building and the property. You have a nice house and so forth. You have a budget, and I'm sure the budget is cared for. I think it's very, important. But what you have that really is the most important here, apart from Jesus, of course, is your preacher. And it shouldn't happen, I know. Preachers should not get discouraged. Preachers should not get down. Preachers should not quit. Preachers should not, a lot of things they shouldn't do. There are a lot of good men of God that I've known through the years that would have continued on and carried on if they just had somebody like Moses did that would hold up his arms. And that's your job. That's your job. And you watch out for him. And you watch out for him and you care for him. It's very important. Very, very important. You stick up for him. And that's your job, your responsibility, to care for the man of God. And you take that very seriously. You make that a priority, and God will bless you. He really will. I want to preach tonight on one man in the Bible named Shamgar. There is very, very little in the Bible said about Shamgar. We'll read it tonight, just two or three verses that speaks about Shamgar. He's a very unusual man. Between the death of Joshua and the reign of Saul, Israel was ruled by judges. It was a time that was described in the Bible as every man did that which was right in his own eyes. God would bring in, the heathen nations would come in and would put Israel under oppression. And finally, Israel would cry out to God and God would send the judge. And if you read the book of Judges, there are several judges that God bring at specific times to bring Israel out of the oppression. In this time, one of the judges of the nation of Israel was Shamgar. Look at Judges chapter number 5 and verse number 6. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. This describes the time when Shamgar was given as a judge. The Bible says that the highways were unoccupied and the travelers walked through byways. If you were living during that time, what this means is nobody would be walking down the main highway out here. And the reason people would not be walking down the main highway is because they were living in fear. They were afraid of the oppression that was there by the enemy. They were afraid of those soldiers and men that would walk by. And so if you needed to go to your neighbor or go someplace, you'd go through the byways. You'd go out the back door. You'd go through the woods. You'd go through the alley. You'd go through the little road or little path that goes from your place to the neighbor's place or down the road. You might go during the morning hours when the shadow would be cast and people wouldn't see you. And you might go back behind the trees, the tree line, or back along behind the fence and go down the road or to the next place or where you had to go. You might go later in the day when the sun is setting and when the shadows were cast. And you might go then behind the trees or behind the fence row, and back through the alley, or back through the back roads, and the trails that might be found behind the roads, behind the houses. And they were afraid. They lived in fear. They lived in terror. The land was oppressed from the Moabites. And before this, the land was oppressed by the Moabites, and Ehud delivered Israel. If you remember Ehud, he's the guy that had the dagger and killed Eglon, the ruler of Moab. And then the Bible says in Judges chapter 3, verse 30, so Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest fourscore years. So Ehud was the judge that delivered Israel from Moab, and there was rest from Moab. However, look at chapter 4 and verse number 1. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. Again, this cycle happened where after they were delivered from the Moabites, now they went back away from God. And they were then, I think this time, under the rule of the Philistines. But they were under oppression, and the enemy came in. And the Bible says it was the time they were afraid to walk. Nobody would walk down the street. They're afraid to walk down the street. They're afraid of the terror. They were afraid of getting killed or getting robbed. They were afraid of the oppression that was there. And this was the time that Shamgar came on the scene and God used Shamgar. Very little is said about Shamgar and very little is known about Shamgar. Take your Bibles and look back at Judges chapter number 5 in verse number 6. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways weren't occupied. The travelers walked through the byways. The Bible says here, in the days of Shamgar, he was the son of Anath. Now,
I took my Bible dictionary and I looked under my Bible dictionary under Anath. And the Bible says Anath was the father of Shamgar. I looked in my Bible dictionary and I looked under Shamgar. Shamgar, the Bible dictionary said, was the son of Anath. That's all it was said. They didn't say much about Shamgar. They didn't know much about Shamgar. They said Shamgar was the son of Anath. Anath was the father of Shamgar. Shamgar was unheard of. He was kind of somebody, I don't know who he is. Shamgar, I don't know. He might live around here. Shamgar, does he come to church? You know, there is a guy that I think comes and doesn't say very much. We don't really know what much about him. Shamgar was that kind of guy. We didn't know, the Bible doesn't say much about Shamgar. We don't know much about him. The Bible says in Judges chapter number 3, verse 31, and after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. Now, the Bible tells us that Shamgar slew 600 men with an ox goad. I believe the reason that Shamgar slew 600 men with an ox goad is because Shamgar drove oxen. I do not believe that Shamgar went down the store one day and said, you know what, I think I'm going to go chase those Philistines down the road. I need a weapon. I need something to chase them with. And he looked around the room and he looked in the store and he said, you know what, this is just what I need, an ox goad. This would be just the thing to chase 600 Philistines down the road and destroy them. I don't think that's what happened. In fact, if you were going to chase 600 Philistines down the road, you wouldn't choose an ox goad either. I think the reason that Shamgar had an ox goad is because Shamgar drove oxen. That would make sense. Amen? Somebody should have said, I have to say amen myself. Amen, preacher! Yeah, there you go. Now we're getting with it a little bit. Okay, so anyway, back to our story. Got to get things going here. So, I believe the reason is because Shamgar drove oxen. Now, the ox goad was a piece of, was a long stick, and on the end of one end of the stick, there was a point. And the point was used to drive the oxen. If you want the ox to go, you just poke them real good. And there was a sharp stick in the one. On the other end of the ox goad was this flat piece of metal, or stone, or whatever it was. And that would take, and as they would lift up the plow, and the dirt would get stuck to the plow. They'd take that flat piece, and they'd clean off the plow. And that was the ox goad. Okay? And Shamgar used the ox goad because Shamgar, I believe, drove oxen. Question tonight. Can God use Shamgar? But Shamgar is nobody. Nobody knows anything about Shamgar. You don't know who he is. He wasn't from the land. He wasn't trained in artillery. He wasn't trained in war. He wasn't trained in schemes of how to destroy the enemy. He's Shamgar. We don't even know who he is. We still don't know who he is. Shamgar drove ox. Can God use Shamgar, a nobody, a no name that drives ox? Can God use Shamgar? Evidently, God can use Shamgar. Evidently, God can use somebody that nobody knows about him. Evidently, God can use Shamgar that really the only thing we know about him is he can drive ox. He was unknown as far as his family. Can God use somebody with skill? Yes. Can God use somebody that has no skill? Yes. Can God use somebody in fame? Yes. Can God use somebody that's a no name? Yes. Can God use somebody that's rich and has much resources? Yes. Can God use somebody that has nothing? God stopped all the disciples and God stopped all the Bible preaching and the singing and whatever else was happening and said, I have a lesson to teach you today. I'm going to teach you on giving. Now turn over there and look at the widow. God used the woman that had a couple of pence. Can God use somebody that has a couple of pence? You say, Pastor, I don't got very much today. God can use you today. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. God can use you anyway. Amen. Can God use somebody with great education? Yes, he can. Can God use somebody that's unknown? Yes, he can. God use you this evening? Yes, he can. Can God use sinners? I hope he can. You ever look at somebody and say, I have no idea why God used him? You know, I'm trying to stop and say this right now. Any one of us here tonight, you can look at and say, there's no reason for God to use that guy or that lady.
Amen.
You can look at somebody and say, I don't know why God's using them, and the truth of the matter is, I don't know why God's using me, and I don't know why God's using you. And if it is, it's but by the grace of God. Yes. Amen. Can God use the young? He used David. He used a little maid with Naaman. Can God use the old? He used Abraham. He used Sarah. She had a dead wolf. She was old. Abraham was old in years. Can God use him? Yes, he did. God can use the talented. God can use the untalented. You say, Pastor, I don't have anything I can do. God can use you anyway. Who does God use to serve him? Who does God use to reach others? Who does God use to do his work? God used the fisherman. God used the doctor. God used the tall. He used Saul. God used the short. He used Zacchaeus. God used David. God used Solomon, the wisest man. God used the donkey. This is kind of a strange thought, but every time I get a little down and so forth, I always think, well, God can use the donkey. I might have a shot at it. Amen? Maybe God can use me too. God used the donkey. You know the truth of the matter is tonight, God can use anybody. Amen? That's his business, and he can use us if he wants to. God used the strong. He used Samson. God used the weak, he used the child. God used those that are not talented. God used the sick. God used the blind. You say, Pastor, I don't feel very good, and I'm not very strong, and I've been sick. God can use you. Amen. God used those that were treated unfairly. You say, Pastor, my life has had some bad turns in it. You have no idea. The problems that I carry tonight. You don't know how things have happened in my life. It's not been fair. It's not been right. I don't think God can use me. I'll sit in the church, and I'm happy to be here, and I'll sit in my pew, but I'll let everybody else have God use them, but God can't use me. God used Job. 10 grades. Everything he had, gone. His wife said, curse God and die. God used Job. My friend, tonight you may just feel like all you can do is just sneak inside this church and sit in the back row and leave. But let me tell you something tonight. God can use you. God used those that are treated unfair. God used those that had a bad reputation. God used the outcast. God used Jephthah. Nobody wanted Jephthah. When they called for Jephthah, Jephthah said, what are you calling me for? You didn't want me. I was an outcast. God used Jephthah anyway. Amen. God used. If you read the psalmist, he had a way with words. And when you read the psalmist, there's a wonderful poetry. And you say, God can use somebody that has great way with words. But what if I don't have many way with words? I don't think God can use me. God used Paul. Am I your enemy if I speak the truth? He spoke the truth and got people mad everywhere he went. He just blurted it out. God used Paul. Amen. Amen. God used Saul. God used Moses. He was a murderer. God used Mary. She was a virgin. God used the widow woman. God used Jonah. Jonah had a bad attitude. He had a bad attitude. I don't want to go. I'm going to go the other direction. You say, Pastor, I'm glad I'm in this church, but I don't care what you say. I don't care the past weeks. I don't care what anybody says. I don't got to be used of God. I just got his poor. You know, a lot of people got a bad attitude. They know it. I probably shouldn't feel this way, and it probably is not right. You're probably right. Amen. It isn't probably right. But that's just the way I feel. So that's the way it is. Let me tell you something tonight. I think you ought to have a good attitude. I think you ought to praise God, and I think you ought to have a good attitude. But if you have a bad attitude, you ought to come to church and get people saved anyway. Just because you got a bad attitude doesn't mean people have to die and go to hell. I mean, if you have a bad, you say, Pastor, I don't think you should give unless you have a good heart. I think that's a flimsy excuse. Use that on your banker. I'm just kind of bad at you. I'm not going to pay for my truck this month. They'll come and load it up, take it home, take it away from you. Try that on your banker for size. Amen? If you got a bad attitude and walk in here with a bad attitude, there's no reason they can't pay the bills and turn on the lights just because you won't tithe.
Amen.
God can use you. Bad attitude and all. Jonah walked into town, didn't have 3 points in a poem. Walked into town, didn't want to be there. He just spent 3 days and 3 nights in a whale's belly. How would you feel? Yeah.
Right.
Walked into town, said, I repent. Repent. People got saved. Jonah got mad. God used him. I said, Pastor, I don't know why God used Jonah. I don't know why God uses you and me either. But he did. Why don't you just go ahead and tithe and serve God and get people saved, bad attitude or not?
Amen.
Just a thought. Moving along. Amen. God used the beggar. Hey, God can use you. Amen. God used Shamgar. We don't know anything about Shamgar. His dad was Anath, and his son was Shamgar. He had an ox goat. All right, there he is. And God used him. I think maybe tonight, if God used Shamgar, maybe God might use you and me. Nobody knows me. I live in Carver, Massachusetts. I go to Faith Baptist Church. Nobody knows me. God knows you. I haven't done anything great or wonderful. God thinks you're great and wonderful. God thinks what you do is important. God wants to use you tonight. Amen. Now let's get to the message. It says in verse 33, verse chapter 3, verse 31, after him Shamgar, son of Anath, which slew the Philistine 600 men with an ox goad. The Bible says he slew 600 men. I don't know what you think, and I'm not sure how you would preach this message, but since I'm doing the preaching, I'm going to tell you what I think. I don't think that Shamgar went out one day and said, you know what? I'm going to take my ox goat and go chase these Philistines around and kill 600 guys. I don't think it happened that way. Shamgar, all he had was an ox goat, number one. Number two, he didn't know how to fight battles and kill Philistines. He didn't know how to do that. I don't think that's what he did. I'll tell you what I think happened. I think that Shamgar did what Shamgar knew how to do. I think Shamgar got up in the morning. I think he ate his breakfast, kissed his wife, kicked the dog, and I think he went out the door and he headed for the field. Amen? That's what Shamgar did. That's what he knew to do. He did what he was supposed to do. He did what he knew to do, picked up his ox goat, headed for the hill. He headed for the field. I think he got his ox out there, started plowing in the field and doing the work in the field. I think that as he was plowing, along down the road came a couple of Philistine soldiers. I think that Shamgar sat there plowing, was down there plowing on the field, and he said, you know what? Those soldiers are going to go to the neighbors, and they're going to steal, and they're going to rob, they're going to rape, they're going to murder. Somebody has to do something.
Amen.
I think Shamgar looked around. All he had was an ox goat. He went up there. He snuck up in the side of the road. Along came these guys. I think he jumped them and he killed them and drug them in the road off the road. That's what I think happened. I think that the next day Shamgar got up and did what he knew to do. I think he went to work. That's all he knew to do. He did for years. He kissed his wife, kicked the dog, picked up his ox goat, headed for the field. I think as he was working out in the field, maybe 3 or 4 Philistines coming down the road, he knew. They were going to head down the road and over here. They were going to turn left and the neighbors are over here and they're going to murder and they're going to rape and they're going to pilferage and they're going to steal and destroy their property. And Shamgar said, somebody's got to do something. Like he left the ox there and he went up there and he killed 3 or 4 of those Philistines, struck them off the side of the road, maybe in the afternoon. I think this process went on. And I think Shamgar... Shamgar, as he went to work and showed up for work, I think that he just said, somebody's got to do something. Amen. I want to just stop and say something here tonight. I think we have a wrong idea and attitude of how God uses us. You say, oh, Pastor, God can't use me. What can I do for God? I mean, what can I do? You know, in the Bible talks about how that God uses us and how God blesses us. And I don't have time to turn there, but you remember the passage over in, I think it's in Matthew. The Bible says, he that's been faithful over a few things, I'll make thee ruler over many. I preach a whole message on few things. God says if you're faithful over a few things, God will make you ruler over many things. You say, well, Pastor, I can't sing in the choir. I said, I'd like to do that, but I can't do that. I can't run a bus. I can't do those things. God says if you're faithful over a few things. Amen. What you and I need to do is be faithful over a few things. You can pick up your Bible and you can read. You say, Pastor, I can't read the whole Bible through. Well, can you read a little bit of it?
Amen.
Be faithful over a few things. Anyway, we're going to keep on moving here. But Shamgar got up and did what he could. He did what his routine was. Amen. I think that end of the week, I think the Philistines got together and they started just joking and laughing. What'd you steal? Well, I got one of these. What'd you steal? I got one of these. And they had roll call. There was like 30 guys didn't show up.
Amen.
They said, wow, they must be having a good day. They must be out and robbing truckloads of stuff. They couldn't make it in a time. And maybe this happened for a week or two. At the end of the month, they had a roll call. And they said, well, who's not here? Let's have a roll call. Let's see who's here. Who stole what? Who did this? They said there's 100 guys missing. 100 guys. Where'd they go? We don't know. I saw him yesterday. Where'd so-and-so go? Well, I was with him last week. I think there was a subtle underlying, just, you couldn't really mention it, but it's a subtle underlying question of really what was going on. I think this happened over a period of time, and I think as the roll call began to be made, and as they would find out who showed up and who didn't show up and who might be there and who wasn't there, and as the number of those that were absent began to increase, I think the questions began to be more and more and more. I think that probably there was probably some type of rumors that were being spread at night. There's some army that comes in at night. They're huge. And they're killing off the army. Be careful, guys. There's some big guy in town. There's some big guy in town, and he comes out when nobody's looking, and he's huge. And he's got spears and swords and all this kind of stuff, and he's killing people off. Instead of going out by twos, let's go out by fours or sixes in groups. I think as the Philistines started going through town, they started looking at who they thought was killing off the Philistine army. They'd walk by Shamgar's field. They said, well, he can't do it. Look at he's the guy. He's just out there every day doing, he's just poking his ox with his ox goat. It wasn't Shamgar. And I think there was a subtle question that went about what was going on. The Bible says, I can do all things which Christ strengtheneth me. The key here was not what Shamgar could do. The key here is, what can God do through Shamgar?
Amen.
You say, well, Pastor, I can't do very much. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And Jesus went to the disciples and said, what do you have here to eat? Jesus wasn't sitting here. He wasn't sitting there trying to figure out how much they had. Jesus wanted the disciples to know how much they had. They said, well, Jesus, if we had 200 penny worth of bread, we couldn't feed these people. Jesus knew that. And we tell Jesus the obvious. Oh, Jesus, I can't sing. God knows that. Enough is said, amen. I can't. God knows that. You don't have to tell God that. He understands that. Amen. I can't teach a Sunday school class. I can't do this. I can't do that. And if you go by what you can and can't do, your ceiling's pretty, I found out my ceiling's pretty low. If I go on what I know and my smarts, it doesn't go very far. If I go on my strength and my power, it doesn't happen very much. If I go on what my persuasion and what I can say, what I can do, it doesn't happen very, it's not very good. If I go on what I can do, the ceiling's pretty low. The question is not what Shamgar could do. Shamgar really couldn't do much of anything. The question is, what can God do through Shamgar? 600 Philistines with an ox goat. Who is Shamgar? We don't know. What is Shamgar? Not much. Where is he? We're not sure. But he was used of God. I want to stop and say this right here tonight. God can use you tonight.
Amen.
God can use you tonight. We tell God what God, we tell God what we cannot do. Let's start telling God what we can do. So, Pastor, I can't give to missions. I can't give $20 a week to missions. Well, what could you do for missions? Could you give 50 cents? Well, maybe. Well, why don't you do that?
Amen.
Could you give a dollar? Sometimes. Why don't you do that? So, Pastor, I can't do much for God. Well, what could you do? Could you show up and could you go with somebody and sit on a bus and at least sit next to a kid? You don't have to say anything. You don't have to grunt. You can breathe quietly if you like. All you have to do is just sit there and be there. Can you do that? You say, well, Pastor, I could do that. Well, let's start with that.
Amen.
Why don't we start there? Yeah, say, Pastor, I can't teach a Sunday school class. Well, could you be a helper? I had a guy one time came to me, and I taught a Sunday school class and needed a teacher. I didn't have one, so I said, would you help me in my Sunday school class? I taught first, second grade boys, B, bus boys. He said, well, I can do that. I'll help you. I said, what do you have to do? Just sit there. I said, okay, I can do that. So I did some songs and did the verses and did the review and taught the lesson, and he sat there, and everything was great. Next week, I says, can you lead the songs? He says, you like, what do you mean? I says, well, like what I did? He says, like, just sing? I says, yeah. He says, I can do that. I says, why don't you do that next week? He says, okay. Next week, we came to class. He sang a couple of songs. I taught. I did the review. I did this. I did everything. We left. Everything was wonderful. I says, let me ask you a question. When the Sunday school lesson's all done, can you bring a few treats in and can you have a review with the kids? Like what do you mean? I says, like, ask questions like what I did. He says, just like you? I says, yeah. He says, well, I can do that. I said, why don't you do that? He said, okay. So he sang some songs. He did the review. I says, next week, you know, the truth of the matter is, and I asked him, and he said, I could do that. And then after a few weeks, I said, you know, really, the truth of the matter is, I should be honest with you, I had a little alternative motive. I needed a Sunday school teacher. I says, could you teach this class? He says, well, I don't know how to teach. I said, can you do what I did? He says, well, I can do what you did. I says, well, why don't you do it? He says, okay. He's teaching Sunday school. He taught Sunday school last week at Calvary Baptist Church. He started doing what he could do. Amen?
Amen.
You say, oh, Pastor, I can't do much. Why don't you start telling God what you can do? Pastor, I can't talk. Can you show up? Can you breathe quietly? Can you pray without disturbing people? Amen? You say, oh, Pastor, well, I could try to do that. Well, why don't you just show up and try that much? You say, well, that help? It helped a lot. Amen. Because this old Pastor Christopher, if I come to church, it's not the end of the world if I don't come to church. I mean, come on, if I don't show up, I mean, the earth's not going to stop. I'm not going to fall off. It's not going to be a big deal. God says, it is a big deal. It is a big deal. I can't do it. Can you show up? Yes, then show up. Can you sit? Then sit. Can you open your mouth and sing quietly? Then do it. Amen. What can you do for God? Shamgar, what can you do? I can't do anything. What he did one day, he did something. And the next day, he did something. The question was not what Shamgar could do for God. The question is what God can do through Shamgar. The question... Do you understand something tonight? I've got to keep on going. You say, Pastor, I can't do it. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. That's as far as you can go. That's as much as you can go. Take your Bibles, turn back to Judges chapter 3, verse 31. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. How did God do this? How did God do this? He used the ox goad. Now, the question is, why did he use an ox goad? Because that's what Shamgar had. I don't think God looked at Shamgar and said, what do you have? An ox goat. Oh, that's too bad. Now, if you had, you know, like a spear, we could use you, but you have an ox goat, so, you know. Well, I don't think God said, you have an ox goat. Great. Great, because if all you had is a switchblade, we couldn't use you. You know what I'm talking about? When Jesus asked the disciples, you know, how many fishes, what do you have? And they said, five loaves and two fishes. I don't think Jesus sat there and said, five loaves and two fishes. If we just had six. Can somebody get an extra loaf around here someplace? If we had like one more fish, we could do something, but two? That's not what Jesus did. Right? What did Jesus do? He used what he had. That's what he used. Hey, why did God use an ox goad? Because he used what he had. Moses, he said to him, I love this passage. What is in your hand? Moses said, well, it's a rod. God says, okay, we'll use that then. God, Moses could have had anything in his hand. God, I think God would have said, we'll use that. What do you have in your hand tonight? You know, let's just stop here a little bit. Somebody says, well, Pastor Chris, you can't build a church on a bus ministry and bus kids. I mean, that's nice and it's wonderful and everything, but you know the truth, I mean, you can't build church on bus ministry and bus kids. Well, let me ask you a question. What do you build a church on then? I mean, you're so smart, then how do you build a church? You tell us how to build a church. If you're smarter than God, tell us how to build a church. God says, go out on the highways and hedges, compel them to come. And God says, go out, and he says, win them, and baptize them, and teach them. Amen. You know how most churches do today? They say, we're really praying. God bless. We're really praying in somebody in our church. We're praying that God would give us somebody that is an electrician. We're praying that God would give us somebody that is a soul winner. We're praying that God's given us somebody that will give us money. In fact, they don't pray that they're going to give them money. They don't have to be a part of the church. They just want a check in the mail. We're just praying that God would lay it on their heart to send a check in the mail. Do you know how God builds a church? Let me stop just for a second. I'm not going to take long. Let me say, and this is what we want. We want the guy over here, and he's praying, he's tithing, he comes faithful, he serves God, he gives extra, he gives to missions. That's who we want. And we sit there and say, you know what we need? We just need somebody in our church. We need somebody in our church that could do this. And so we sit there and pray and say, I've had people say this. We'd like to start a bus ministry, but we have nobody to drive the bus. We'd like to start a bus ministry, we have nobody to visit and be a captain. We're praying that God would give us somebody to be a captain. Isn't that normal? That's what most churches think. We'd like to have somebody that could really go soul winning, but we don't have anybody. Like, we're praying that God would give us somebody. Do you know that's not the way God says to build a church? God says you go over here and you win people to Jesus Christ. That means you win little children. That means you win bus children. That means you win teenagers. That means you win moms. That means you win adults. You win everybody. Amen. You give the gospel to every creature. And we see a lot of creatures. Amen? And you get them saved. Do all of them come back? No. Do some of them come back? Yes. And those that come back, what do? You baptize them. Do all of them come back? No. Do some of them come back? Yes. What do then? You teach them. You put them in a Sunday school class. You teach them the Word of God. Teach them how to live for God. Teach them how to serve God. What happens? They start serving God. They come to church Sunday morning. They come to church Sunday night. They come to church Wednesday night. They start coming to teenage soul winning. Then they grow up and they get married. They start coming on Saturday soul winning. Then they start getting the burden to tithe, and they start to tithe. Next thing you know, they're doing this, they're doing that. Next thing that. Next thing you know what they're doing? They're growing bus. They're going soul winning. They're bus captain. That's where you get them. You know tonight that every person in this building is important. Everybody in the nursery is important. Everybody in children's church this morning was important. Every kid on that bus was important. Every person in teen, if you have teen church or whatever you have for teenagers, is important. Every woman, every man, every person's important. And if God puts you in this church, God put you here for a reason. You know how we choose churches? I'm looking for a friendly church. Just when I walk in, I just don't feel something. I just don't feel friendly. I'd like to go to church, but I just don't feel like I'm fed. I don't really have friends there. I don't connect. You know, and I guess I can understand that to a point. But do you realize that God gives you a church to grow and to serve God? Why don't you look for a church? We have an opportunity. I saw a couple of seats left open in the choir tonight. There's an opportunity. Amen? Hey, there's still a seat on the bus that probably wasn't occupied. There's a Sunday school room downstairs that probably is empty, and if not, we can find one. Amen. Moving right along. God put you here. God, we need you in this church. You're here for a reason and a purpose. You say, Pastor, I don't know what to do. Get in line. The line is short. You know who God used this last week? Pastor Weeks? Whoever showed up. You know who went soul winning last week? Whoever showed up. We didn't have a line too long and say, okay, the first 30 can go soul winning. The rest of you, sorry, we just have too many soul winners. You have to go home. Try it next week. Didn't happen. You know who rode a bus this morning? Whoever showed up. You know who taught a Sunday school class this morning? Whoever showed up. You know who sang in the choir? Whoever showed up. That's who God used last week. And if you're here in this church, you're here for a reason and purpose. God used Shamgar. I'm excited about that. Amen. Shamgar. And he had an ox goad. He had an ox goad. You see, Pastor, that is ridiculous. Yeah, well, what do you have? You probably have more than an ox goat. I got to move on.
Go ahead. Preach on.
All right. God used Moses and a rod. Jesus asked the disciples, what do you have? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The eldest servant, I love this. I being in the way, the Lord led me. He says, I just got in the way. I showed up and God used me. Amen. He was in the way. He was there. God can use you. God used you different than somebody else, that's okay. Let God use you how God wants to. God uses somebody one way, God used somebody a different way. Thank God for that. Just be used of God. God uses what he has. Put it in his hand, God will use you. God took the potter and he took the clay and he began to mold it. He said, that's what I'm looking for, some clay that I can mold. God spit on the ground, took some clay and put it in the blind man's eye. Guess what? You and I are that piece of clay. So what he's looking for is a piece of dirt. I can qualify for that. Amen. Now, take your Bibles and turn to Judges chapter 3 and we'll close. Look at verse number 31. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew the Philistines 600 men with an ox goat. And he also, here it is, delivered Israel. Say, Pastor, but he drives ox, and he's got an ox goat, and nobody knows him, and he didn't do anything great. But he delivered Israel also. That's pretty big. That's pretty big. Philistines, I think one day they came to their meeting, and I think they came to the meeting one day. They said, okay, well, after all the preliminaries, all stuff going on, roll call. And they said, okay, we have how many missing? 599, 600. I think when they hit 600, the guy in charge said, you know, fellas, I just feel led to go on vacation. Somebody says, I'm going to take I'm retirement early. And they left. Why did they leave? Shamgar. A Philistine army was scared and driven out. And the Israelites were relieved from the oppression of the Philistine and the Philistine army because of Shamgar. Yeah. Unbelievable. He delivered Israel also. big. I'll tell you something this morning, today, this morning, big things happen around here. Big things happen around here. People, everybody that came to church was taught, that came to Sunday school was taught the Word of God. There were people that came to church this morning that were lost. When they left, they were saved. There are people that came to church that had some kind of burden, and you and I don't even have a clue what they were. But when they left, God touched them and God worked in their lives. God delivered Israel. Amen. I'll tell you something tonight. What Shamgar did was a big deal. What Shamgar did was a big deal, not because Shamgar was big, because he wasn't. Shamgar drove oxen. Nobody knew him. He didn't know what's going on. Philistines didn't even know what's going on. But he slew 600 Philistines, and he delivered Israel also. That's big. Amen? That's good. That's
good. Well, that's good. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Boy, that's a good message. I wonder how many Shamgars we got here tonight. I wonder what it is on your heart right now. You know what it is. Maybe you're withholding a little bit. Maybe you're not giving everything you can to God simply because you think, I'm not all that big. I'm a nobody. Shamgar was too. The message was just right down the line here this evening, but I wonder where you are here tonight. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this story. We thank you for this man represented in this story, Shamgar. What a story. Didn't know a whole lot about him, but you used him mightily to deliver Israel. And God, Holy Spirit, I ask you right now, whatever needs to be done tonight in each heart, I pray, dear God, that we will not find ourselves withholding ourselves any longer from doing something big for you. Maybe it is driving a bus, teaching a Sunday school class, singing in the choir, whatever the case may be. I pray, God, that we won't just look at ourselves, but you look at us in a whole different light. You look at us as someone that is special and someone that's a choice servant. And I just pray, dear God, that whatever needs to be done tonight, Holy Spirit, you'll do it. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. The piano's going to play, I Surrender All. And if you need to surrender something tonight, you need to get on your knees before a holy God tonight. Why don't you, that first note, you step out and you do business with God as the pianist plays. That's it. That's it. I wonder how many Shamgars we got here tonight. I wonder. What are you keeping yourself from tonight? Come on. Maybe it's a ministry of prayer. Maybe it's a ministry of some other thing here in the church. That's it.